Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Found a hair in my podcast. Welcome to the Off Menu podcast.
Ed Gamble there with another great opening.
Thank you very much for the compliment, James Acaster.
My pleasure.
How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. I can't wait to ask our guests what their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink are.
What I really like about these intros is quite often I'll just try and get them into just a chatty sort of relaxing chat and you're all business.
This is how I chat. It's how I chat all the time.
You just get straight to the format. Yes, we have a very special guest and we're going to be asking them their dream meal. And the special guest this week is
Emily Gordon.
Emily Gordon is a screenwriter. You may know her work from The Big Sick.
Oscar nominated, thank you very much, for screenwriting.
Oh, hello. Someone's good at their job.
Best original screenplay.
She wrote The Big Sick with Kumail Nanjiani, who was also in The Big Sick and is her husband. There is a secret ingredient, though, James.
The secret ingredient, and we will chuck her out of the restaurant if she says this, is charcoal.
Charcoal.
It's a gimmick. It's an Instagram gimmick.
It's an Instagram gimmick.
Instagram.
That's what you said.
Oh, yeah, I did say that. I realised it.
It's this special costume you can buy to instantly turn you into a gran.
Yeah, I'm an Instagram. I hate it when people buy those black ice creams and then take photos of them. And they're like, haha, look, it's like, it doesn't taste of anything.
It doesn't taste of anything.
It's not a flavour. And it doesn't even look that nice. It's just weird that your ice cream's black. But like, that's it.
Also,
they've got
like
black teeth.
Black teeth, drinks. You can buy drinks with charcoal in.
Yeah.
You can buy like water bottles with a charcoal filter. It's all nonsense. And so help me God, Emily, you know, she lives in LA, mate.
Yeah. We're really laying a trap here.
It's a
we're not playing softball.
Trap. So hopefully Emily will not say charcoal because you know she's come a long way just to do this.
Yes.
So fingers crossed.
Yes, I feel quite bad actually.
Here's the off menu menu.
I've met Emily Gordon.
Welcome, Emily, to the Dream Restaurant.
What happened?
Welcome, Emily Gordon.
What? Should
to
we
the
leave?
Dream Restaurant.
What's happening? Hi.
Big surprise. This is the genie waiter, aka James Acaster.
Good to see you. I've been expecting you since we opened this restaurant 500 years ago.
Oh, there's more back. That is more backstory to the restaurant we've ever had.
Yes, that's when it started.
500 years. And who was coming to the restaurant back then?
Jafar.
Just
mainly.
Jafar.
Jafar. Always bread. Yeah. If you're wondering.
The basket, so he doesn't have to pay, or?
It's always at the beginning. We always give people the choice.
Well, he'd always
have... pick bread.
Okay. And crackers for Iago, of course.
Yes, because some little crackers for Iago, the parrot. That parrot was always grumpy.
He just wanted crackers.
He just wanted crackers.
That was all he wanted.
Yeah.
That's what, have you ever seen a parrot eat a cracker?
I was just wondering this exact thing. I have no idea if they actually eat crackers or not.
Yeah.
Do they?
Well,
is that a different podcast?
Polly want a cracker, right?
Polly want a cracker is a big part of all of our lives.
Is that a thing that parrots have said out loud? I mean, who originated that?
Well, I guess I'm assuming someone... taught that to a parrot rather than a parrot was like Polly want a cracker.
Yes.
And then people were like, parrots can talk and they love crackers.
So yeah. I'll teach him to request the thing that I have extra of.
Yeah. That must be it. It's someone who had loads of crackers. Yeah.
So it can't be It must have been that they taught it to say it because it's easy for them. Is it easy for them to say?
Polly want a cracker.
Polly want a cracker.
Polly's quite hard, isn't it?
Polly's hard.
You have to name your parrot Polly.
Yeah.
Which feels like another step.
Yeah, it's another thing. It's got to be called Polly. It's got to want a cracker.
Cracker feels like it's easier to say with a beak than Polly is.
Yeah, sure.
That feels right.
I've never done this early in the podcast, but I'm imagining I've got a beak.
Yeah.
And cracker seems easier than Polly.
Yes, absolutely.
Cracker does seem easier than Polly.
Yeah, I would rather if I was a parrot, I'd rather be called like, you know, Coco or Kiki.
And that sounds similar to cracker, which is also easier for everybody involved. I also feel like parrots would want to eat like a fruit.
Yeah.
Mm. Like crackers are not native foods to their...
They're so dry.
They're so dry.
Yeah.
So dry. It is just because it's easier for them to say, right?
It
must be that. They can't
order a lasagna or something if you're a parrot.
Polly want a lasagna.
Yeah, Polly want a lasagna.
Now you're just Garfield.
Yeah.
He loved lasagna so much.
Oh, that guy couldn't get enough lasagna.
I mean, I get it. It's really good.
It is good, but not every week.
Yeah.
Here's a question early doors for you. Because I always thought like the lasagna in Garfield looked like the best lasagna.
Yes.
Is there like a cartoon food you can think of that you've seen in a particular cartoon? I'm putting you on the spot here.
Great question.
This is
anything
a great
you've
question.
Seen in a film or a comic strip or anything that you've gone, that looks so tasty. I want that version of it.
I think the food in video games often looks, when I was a kid, like a Double Dragon, anything that's like where you like hit a trash can and like a full turkey, like a turkey comes out, or like a pizza or a burger, I was always like, that looks good.
Yeah.
I always thought that would be delicious, and it'd be like, what a great thing to just have, like, oh, I'll just have a whole burger fall out of this trash can and I'll munch down on it. But I generally think cartoons, everybody, when people are going to sleep in cartoons, that is the coziest sleep I could possibly imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that, like, there was a... Do you guys know the show The Critic? John Lovitz's cartoon?
No,
I've not seen it.
Oh, it was, like, from the 90s, and it was, like, a send-up of the entertainment industry. And at the beginning, in the opening credits, he would, like, curl up and go to sleep. And I was like, that feels nice.
Yeah. They just go straight to sleep, cartoon characters.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. They're not fretting about how they don't go to enough museums.
Yeah.
Which is what I do.
But you'd want the video game Trash Can Turkey.
Yeah, that's what I want.
I want... Here's what I want, because you've never asked this question before, James.
No.
And I do have the answer ready to go.
Yes.
Studio Ghibli films have the best food.
I was thinking that.
Damn it.
The Spirited Away band.
Yeah, Spirited Away. Yeah. Calcifer is in Spirited Away with the pan of with the fried breakfast.
Yes.
And the bacon looks amazing and the eggs look amazing. Just all bubbling away and the fire's got
I mean,
a
it
face.
Will do bad things to you. You shouldn't eat that food. You'll turn into a pig person.
That's true.
Yes, that's
spoiler
true.
Alert.
Yeah.
But that's worth it, right?
But that looks so good. When they turn into pig people or when they're eating all that food, I think even though I know that now, I would still eat all that food and turn into a pig person.
You're completely right.
The dumplings are huge.
Would you then say, Eddie want a dumpling?
Yeah. Say, Eddie want a dumpling.
Eddie want a dumpling.
Wait, when you were a pig.
Difficult to say when you're a pig.
You imagine yourself with a snout.
Yeah. I'm imagining it. I've still got the beak as well. Things have gone really weird.
Yeah. They always have one tooth, I feel like. When pigs in cartoons always have like a one tooth.
Yeah, just on the side, just the chew with.
Yeah.
A little stray tooth.
God, that's a great movie.
We always start with still or sparkled in water. the choice.
Tap.
Always tap?
Man of the people.
Yeah.
no, I usually go, I'll go sparkling or tap.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you have a brand of water that you like the best?
Sparkling or like a brand of...
Well, let's say you're out and about. You're going around. There's a lot of bottled water in LA. More so than anywhere else, I've noticed.
Yeah, we like water.
Yeah. If you're going into, you know, a gas station or a corner store.
Oh, very good, James.
American.
A bodega?
A bodega? Well
a bodega?
Done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, if you're cool? in New York.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I think I tend to go Fiji.
Uh-huh.
But that square bottle, if you're then getting into a car, makes life very difficult for cup holders.
Oh, okay. I thought you were just talking about going into the car. It's like,
Can't get it in.
It's hard.
I'm doing an act out that means nothing to you.
It's huge.
But I would say probably Fiji, and not for any real brand. It's just there. It's usually there.
I think the bottle, the Fiji bottle, it just looks clearer and cleaner.
Yes.
I don't think I've seen a bottle of Fiji. Can you describe it?
It's square.
It's square. It's a square bottle.
It's a square. And it has
also, it has this kind of like... the outside, like they do like a fading kind of like a gradient of blue on it. So it's like a deep blue through to a lighter blue on the outside.
Ombre.
So
this guy knows his water.
It looks inviting.
It looks refreshing. I also find if it's like a really cheap brand of water bottle, and like in America, you'd have like a Deer Park. I can taste the plastic. Mm. Do you know that thing where it's like this particular bottle here in this room looks like a nice thick plastic, but if it's too thin of a plastic,
a nice tea bottle, then.
I feel like it's bleeding into the flavor of the water.
Okay.
I feel like. I might be wrong.
But even so, just the fact that you feel like it.
That's all it takes for me to be like, never, never in my life.
This tastes like plastic.
Yeah. And Fiji does not to me.
What do you think about canned water?
I feel strange. I also,
it's weird, isn't it? It's a weird feeling.
I feel strange about boxed water.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big thing everybody likes to give out now in LA. Oh, it's like, ooh, it's boxed water. It's better.
Yeah.
And they're like so proud of themselves. It's a box. It's fine. Like you don't need to congratulate yourself that hard. You know, like nobody was looking for an innovation in that industry. But I think some of them are more recyclable, or somehow that's like the advantage of them.
Yes.
And then I know Jaden Smith.
Yes.
Of the Will and Jada.
Yes. Smith,
He has like his own water company now that you'll sometimes get that at like an event. Like
his own water company.
I don't know if I would want fresh water of Bel Air. Do you call it that?
At what point do you get to a stage in your career where you're like, I think it's time I started a water company?
As much as I want to make fun of him, he apparently is doing it like he gives away water in like areas like Michigan, Flint, Michigan, like
right,
places.
Right,
apparently it's like a more of a charitable company, and like places will buy it because he then gives that money back to like give it away to other people. It's apparently a lovely thing that he's doing.
Yes.
But I'm still going to make fun of it because it's a box of water. And what am I doing?
I think it's Jaden Smith.
Yeah.
It's very funny to make fun of Jaden Smith.
Yeah.
Also, he's seen what happens after Earth if we don't start looking after the environment.
He was in that film, wasn't he?
And After Earth is not...
Are you talking about Karate Kid? Wasn't he in the Karate Kid remake?
Was it?
It was, yeah. That's it. It's not post-apocalyptic as far as I'm aware. But After Earth, if the world's like that, if we don't look after it, we're going to need to start doing some stuff because that movie stunk.
M. Night Shyamalan, right?
If the post-apocalyptic world looks like an M. Night Shyamalan film, that's a disaster.
We're all in trouble.
We're all in trouble.
That should inspire you to action.
But he'll show up and save everyone because that's his role in all of his movies. Yeah. M. Night specifically. Yeah. He's always like,
wonders
don't
in.
Worry, I got it.
Wonders in. Hello. Pop it up to a bread, Emily. Pop it up to a bread.
I'm going to go bread. Okay.
Oh, we're going to farm in our hands.
You're not a very good waiter, if I may be honest.
No one's ever called him out on that. 500 years,
no complaints. So who's really wrong?
Very aggressive. I need some time. Can I have both?
Oh, let's hear it.
I mean, they both are good.
They are both?
You don't know. You don't know what you're going to want on the day, but I feel like I don't usually crave Papadoms, but once they're not in my vision, maybe I would. But I'm going to say bread. I'm going to say bread over overall. Yeah.
Is there a certain type of bread you like?
Or
is there a specific place you got some good
bread from? I don't really like talking about this. But
this is why people listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
I've been avoiding gluten for a couple of months. Avoiding.
Mm.
I'm not in a place where I'm like, I can't eat gluten. I don't turn. But it just keeps me from eating bread constantly.
Mm.
If it's not available, then I guess I would say the styrofoam mash that is gluten-free bread.
That's what you're because you avoid. You're avoiding bread.
I'm avoiding gluten bread. Yes.
But can you feel the benefits of avoiding it?
Here's what is a bummer. I've stopped. I've been avoiding gluten and refined sugar and dairy, but I don't really eat that much dairy anyway. And I have like a lot more energy. I wish it wasn't true.
It's really annoying when it is, isn't it? And you can actually see the benefit of it.
Oh, I didn't want to do it. And I was like, I'll try it. And then it feels great. I hate it.
I love bread so much, but I do. If I eat bread, I'm like, I think I feel a bit depressed after it. Like,
I think I'm getting sick. Yeah. Do I have a cold?
I ever forget love makes me sad.
Yeah. I mean, that's right. And so the key to life is just avoiding the things that you love.
Yeah, all the things that you love, and then you just kind of feel better in general.
And I'm never happy, but I'm also never sad.
You're never sad either. So that's the thing, right? Hey. You either pay to go on the roller coaster or you stand around watching the roller coaster going, some of that would have been pretty bad. Right?
And hoping people drop change out of their pockets that you can pick up from the roller coaster.
It's not normally this early in an episode that you say something existentially destructive, James. But that roller coaster thing really bummed me out just then.
Yeah? That's what life is.
Everything I love makes me sad.
Everything I love makes me sad.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with you whatsoever. And sometimes I want to feel sad.
Yes, sure.
That's what sometimes I just get at McDonald's because I'm just leaning into some sadness.
There's self-harm. There's some self-harm in that.
Yeah, for sure. Just go for it. Feeling sad anyway.
Yeah.
Go to McDonald's. Big old bag of carrot sticks.
Oh, James's McDonald's order is carrot sticks.
How are the carrot sticks there? I've never had them.
Divine.
You know, they fry them in beef fat, right? There's no way that they're not like, we'll just pour a little on. That's what our customers have come to love from us.
Yeah, it's all clown fingers and stuff. It's not good for you.
They are good, though.
Well, they're just carrots. I mean, basically, I only go to McDonald's very late, late at night when there's no options.
Uh-huh.
And if I'm sober, which often I am coming back from a gig, I feel too guilty for my last meal of the day to be an actual McDonald's. And so I go in and I get a grilled chicken wrap.
Oh, God.
A Diet Coke and some carrot sticks.
That is the worst McDonald's order I've ever heard.
Yep.
I'm surprised you've not been beaten up in a McDonald's.
I should have been beaten up by now.
They should have refused
Grimer
to serve you. Yeah.
Imagine being beaten up by Grimer. Is that...
Which one's Grimer?
Is he the...
Grimace.
Grimace.
His name is...
Grimer. Who's Grimer then?
He's probably an MC.
He's not a McDonald's person. Grimace. That's an even funnier name.
That's just a facial expression.
Yeah. Oh, that's some cartoon food I like.
Yeah,
the
you're not wrong.
McDonald's food.
That's right. It actually looks pretty similar to the actual McDonald's food for the most part, though.
Yes.
Yeah, which is helpful.
I like how the fries are quite they're quite springy in the drawings.
Yeah.
Mm.
Very yellow.
Very yellow.
Yeah. I'd have a lot. They kind of fan out. You know, when they're coming out of the box.
In a way that they never do. No. Yeah, they're always
I really like watching, and this goes for any fast food restaurant, the big shovel, the fry shovel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is like wide at the end, and then it's got the funnel towards it, and when they put it in the packet, I love watching that happen.
Would you like to use that?
I'd love to. That would be fun to do. I'd love to use the fry shovel funnel.
You would love to use the shovel funnel?
Do you think that... you could get that from this podcast? Do you think that's something you could...
Oh, that's a good shout.
Yeah.
We could probably get it. Most things, if we mention like a gadget, sometimes people get in contact and offer us one.
I mean, the height of privilege is, can I pretend to work at your restaurant for like an hour?
I'd love to just come in and have the experience of what it's like to be like a normal person.
Can I use a fry shovel, please? Hand it over. Oh, it's so funny.
It's like undercover boss, but I can't offer them anything at the end.
That's right.
Yeah.
Undercover.
Undercover guy.
Undercover customer.
What an ending to the episode. They sit down. I got a confession to make. I was undercover the whole time. Oh, man, are you going to give me... No, I'm not the boss. I was undercover.
I have a podcast.
I don't really work here. We were talking. I just wanted to use the fry shovel.
Yeah. All I'm saying, I was wanting to sit you down and say thank you for letting me use the fry shovel so frequently. Yeah, I thought it was weird that you loved it so much. Yeah, well, it's because I don't really work it. Anyway,
I have to go.
I'm going to return to my happy life now.
They might have that on Amazon, don't you think?
They might have a fry shovel on Amazon.
I don't know if that's what you would
I don't know
Google.
What I'd use it for, though, because in my day-to-day life, I'm not making sort of large quantities of fries.
Do you have a cat? Maybe a cat litter scoop?
No, oh, yeah.
Maybe I should get a cat.
That's actually the best reason to get a cat.
Scooping it in with a fry shovel or the cat litter.
Oh, like, look how it fans out.
Also, is that also...
It's just like the cartoon.
Are you picturing all the shits going into the bin and then fanning out? That's
like
lovely.
Fries,
100%, yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly. And a McDonald's cup also,
yeah, yeah,
too.
You'd have to put all the cat shit in the McDonald's cup. Fanned out.
Wow. Where, what happened?
I don't know how we got there, really.
We're talking about bread.
Are we talking about bread?
Bread. Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. things that make you happy.
Yeah, that's true.
But
yeah.
Do you like... So you've chosen the gluten-free bread.
Yes.
But is that because it is the best bread you've ever had and you want it in your dream meal?
You're right. If I'm going to go dream meal and it's like a fuck you situation, I'm probably not going to do that. I'm probably going to go with like a brioche, like a something, or like just something like a well-baked bread that has like a little olive oil on the side.
Yeah.
That's probably what I'm going to go with. That's if it's like apocalypse, I call them apocalypse foods, like stuff that like we're all going to die.
Sure.
So let's just eat what we want in our damn lives. But I'm trying to, but gluten-free bread is not bad.
Right.
Some of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But most
is there a particular brand of gluten-free bread that you'd recommend to all the non-glutenies out there?
I don't know if it's... there's one in America called Canyon Bakehouse. It's pretty good. Shout out to Canyon Bakehouse.
Shout out to Canyon Bakehouse. Guess who's about to get a load of free Canyon Bakehouse?
Oh, it would be a dream. It would be a dream. Thanks, guys.
So we come to your starter. So we're entering into the big leagues now.
Big league, the big boys.
The big boys now. Is this something that makes you happy or something that makes you feel fine?
These are all ones that make me happy, I'll say. There's a restaurant in Los Angeles called Night Market Song. There's several Night Market restaurants, but Night Market Song is like the new hip one that opened kind of on our side of town. And they have a crispy rice salad. I think the official, I'm going to butcher it. It's Nam Khao Tok. Todd?
Yes.
Yeah, that's great. I did a great job with the Thai.
Yeah.
And it originally has like pork and stuff in it. And it's not that I don't eat pork, but the the vegan option is so much better.
Right.
So the vegan crispy rice salad at Night Market Song is like dream starter. Dream.
And this is something, so how long has it been open for, this place?
I'd say maybe like 2 years at this point.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you go like... Early doors, were you an early adopter?
It got very, very popular, and now it is very popular, and it's really, really hard to get in. And so I find that you can just like call in and order for pickup and go grab it.
Oh, nice.
Which is what we end up doing a lot of the time. But what you have to do is as soon as you sit down, you have to order it immediately because they run out a lot.
Mm.
So you sit down, order like two, maybe three orders, depending on how many people are there.
Yeah.
It's very spicy. It's like a crispy, it's basically like Rice Krispies, but in like a Thai salad with like lime juice, and it's ridiculously good.
What do they replace the pork with for the vegan option?
I think they just don't have the pork.
They just take it out.
I think so. And I just like, for some reason, it gums it up. I don't know.
Yeah.
I like it kind of being a light item. And what I also love about that restaurant is that every single time you go, it's different levels of spice. So you actually can't, you can kind of request what you want, but like, that's how you know they're like, putting their heart and soul into it every day because it's not like, well, this is always this spicy. Like one day you'll go and it will tear your face in half.
Yeah.
And then the next time you go and you're like, oh, okay, I got it. I can do this.
That's
a
nice like roulette every time.
Yeah, every single time. Yeah.
Also, you saying about ordering food at the Thai place, showing up, eating it, and then immediately leaving. You know what that reminds me of?
Are we going to talk about it? Are we going to talk about it?
It's fun to talk about that.
Are we allowed?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Me and Emily went to a Thai restaurant.
Yeah.
And there was a table that had a meal on it, but no one was sitting there.
Right.
As soon as, but basically, empty table. And then they put the plate down. And as soon as they put the plate down, Eddie Izzard walked to the door, walked up to the table, ate the food, walked out again.
It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. He must live nearby.
He must live nearby.
I don't know.
That's baller.
It was absolutely brilliant.
And it wasn't that I was like, we weren't like noticing like, oh, there's a plate of food there and no one's eating it. It was that we watched him walk in. He said he's hard, so you're going to watch him walk in.
He just arrived.
He walked in and sat, and then all of us were like, and there's already a meal there.
Yeah.
And then he just ate it very quickly. At one point, he was standing and eating.
Yeah.
And then left without paying.
And then he left.
Who knows?
Maybe we didn't see him pay.
He must have an arrangement with that restaurant.
But he obviously had to. He obviously paid for it somehow at some point. But we didn't see any.
He's probably got a tab. He's got a tab.
It was
He calls ahead and he's like, "I want my meal on my table," so he can just eat standing up, and he's straight out again.
Get in, eat it, leave. Small place as well. It wasn't a big restaurant.
Yeah. And I think we were all like, does everybody see this? Is it just us seeing this?
Incredible.
Because nobody was really reacting to it. And we weren't either. We were playing it very cool.
Yes.
But as soon as he left, we were
Did
all...
you all just watch him in silence eat that food and then leave?
Honestly, it was like hard to... I focused on whatever we were talking about. Yeah. It wasn't that important, whatever it was.
Yeah, we had to like fake a conversation while taking it in turns to play lookout and be like, what's his odd doing now? He's standing up and eating it.
We need to get him on the podcast and ask him.
Need to.
What happened? Yeah. I have a thing of like, if there's something going on, but you still have to maintain a conversation, I just start talking about Batman. It's just like a thing I've done. Because there's always something to talk about with Batman. Yeah. Always.
Sure, there is, yes.
And so it's my go-to, like if I start talking about Batman to Kumail, he'll be like, is something racist happening behind me? Like, what's going on? He knows that that's like a cue of like,
walked in?
Like, is there a fist fight happening that we're like you haven't shown me yet?
Izzard's back, isn't he?
That's incredible.
Yeah, it was very exciting.
Yeah.
I have been to one of the night market restaurants in LA, but I was there by myself and I went, it's not a good place to go alone because they are sharing size dishes. And I walked in and ordered a couple and the guy was like, are you sure about this? Are you sure you want to be in this restaurant? And I was like, yeah, bring me two of those dishes.
Bring it on.
And then I sat there and I resolutely ate all of it and I've never felt worse the next morning after a meal.
You were doing it as like a fuck you to the waiter who was like,
he was genuinely trying to be helpful. Yeah. He was like, are you sure you want to eat this by yourself? And I was like, yeah, and put some more rice on the side actually.
Yeah.
And then really chewed through it. And it was absolutely delicious, but very spicy,
just
and I was
much.
Very full.
Yeah.
While you were eating it, were you shouting, "Everything I love makes me sad"?
I was screaming, "Eddie, want a cracker?
Eddie, want a dumpling? I think.
Eddie, want a dumpling?
But you'll find that Eddie wants a dumpling.
Eddie,
Polly
want
wants
a crispy
cracker.
Rice salad.
And sorry, you were very specific about that. Polly wants a cracker. Eddie wants a dumpling.
Yeah. Although from what we saw, Eddie wants some Thai food.
Eddie wants some Thai food. Very delicious. Yeah.
Eddie wants some Thai food, and he does not want to be held up with the ordering process or the paying process.
He knows what he wants, and he just wants what he wants. Yeah.
I like that. That makes me like him even more.
Your main course.
Okay.
Are we staying in LA for this?
No. We're going to North Carolina, which is where I'm from. We're going to a little town called Elizabethtown, North Carolina,
which is where...
Why, oh dear, James?
Are you thinking of the movie?
Yes.
No, it's nothing to do with the movie.
That movie makes me want to be sick.
Yeah. Well, this town won't. Well, it might. My family goes on this lake trip every single year. They have for like 65 years. It's like this annual kind of... We rent a terrible hotel. It's not a great hotel. Mm-hmm. And in the nearby town, there is a restaurant called Melvin's that has a thing called Melvin's Burgers. And they are under $2 a pop. There is a line that the line is very long all day long. It's a very, very popular restaurant. Has been for many years, but it progresses very quickly. And a Melvin's Burger is one of the best things I've ever eaten in my life.
Great.
It's a very small burger. It's got like, you have to get it all the way. Kumail always does a thing where he tries to like, order it special and it's like you just don't do that but that's okay, everybody forgives him, but it's like it's got like chili, slaw, onions, like things that normally disgust me, but somehow on this burger it is the best thing I've ever eaten in my entire life.
What kind of a bun is it?
Just like a regular ass like grocery store bun, like it is. There's nothing special about any of the ingredients. It's somehow just the way they put it together. It's the waiting in line. It's that you can only get it once a year. For me, at least. The residents of Elizabethtown.
They only have that burger when you come back into
exactly.
town.
Exactly. The rest of the year, they're just like, why?
Why do we have to wait for this lady to arrive before we get the burger?
But it's the thing I think about the most when I'm like, what would I, if I only had like one meal left, I think I would want to eat one of those burgers, at least a couple of those burgers.
Is it a messy eating experience?
Oh, the messiest. It's disgusting. And it makes your hands smell bad. Like, it's like, it's not good. And you shouldn't eat it in the restaurant. Like, we always look at people doing that and be like, oh, amateurs. You're supposed to get like a massive bag of them and then take them back to whence you came.
Eat them in the bath.
Or eat them in the car on the way, like a sad, on the toilet if you want. But they're absolutely amazing. And I was like do you know the band The Melvins?
Yeah.
I was a huge Melvins fan all growing up. So when I was like 16, I took an actual photo of the front of the restaurant, Melvins, and I sent it to the Melvins, like the address that was on. This is so stupid. That was on their CD that I had. And I was like, hey, I love you. Here's a photo of a restaurant that made me think of you. And It didn't occur to me until like 20 years later how dumb that was. But they sent me back a Sub Pop catalog.
Wow.
And a little note was written on it that said, "I love you too. Love Buzz." I don't think there's any way that King Buzzo, who is the lead singer of that band, actually wrote that note. But I still have that.
You think it was Buzz Lightyear?
Buzz Aldrin. It was probably Buzz Aldrin.
Buzz Aldrin. He loves everyone.
Buzz Aldrin really had a drop-off after the whole moon stuff, so he started replying to fan mail directed to King Buzzo.
Working at Sub Pop.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'm working at Sub Pop now. My moon days are over.
Nothing else for me to do. But I still have the catalog, and I literally had not occurred to me until like fairly recently, like, what a weird kid, little kid thing to do. To send a photo.
That's you were doing is like proto Twitter, because now that people would do that all the time.
Just tag him?
Yeah, you were tagging him, but you just had to put it in an envelope and send it off.
Which, to take the effort to do that is bonkers.
Yeah.
It's pretty dumb. But the burgers are amazing.
Paid off. You still got the catalog.
I do still have the catalog. And I saw him, I saw King Buzzo at a movie, not a movie theater, there's a cemetery in LA that has like, puts on shows and stuff. So I was at a concert, saw him there because his hair is huge and crazy. And I went up to him and I meant to say it to him. And I've not ever had this thing where I like get weird. I got so weird and started like shaking visibly. It's the people that I was a fan of as a child that I cannot handle talking to.
And he's an
now.
Icon, right? And he still looks like he did.
He looks
back in the day.
Amazing. So, yeah. And so I think Kumail had to like be like, "This is Emily. She's a big fan." And I was like, "Meer." I think I meowed. And then we left and I didn't get to say anything.
You go, "Burger. You're a burger man."
Burger restaurant. Me, you.
In the Christopher Nolan films, he's got a deep husky voice. It's a bit weird, but some people wanted to put it on. I'm okay with it.
I lost it. I was not okay. I could not keep it together. But long story short, that's the burger for me.
So with bun, slaw, like a mayo-y slaw?
It's like a mayo-y slaw. It's like chopped up onions, chili. I think there's mustard, which is not a thing I enjoy overall.
Is it? So has it been around your whole life?
Yes.
Who owns it? Like, is it a family?
I think it's
family
owned, yeah.
Not King Buzzo.
Not King Buzzo.
King Buzzo doesn't.
Or Buzz Aldrin. Oh. That's the other
There's
thing
no
he's
buzz
doing.
Involved.
What a twist. Oh, the buzzes were there. Has it always had long lines?
Yes, my whole life.
This is great.
My whole life.
Like a small little family run business.
Whole life.
That has always had really long lines.
Yeah.
And that their burgers are so good.
When you go in, the idea that like when you go into work there, you know you're going to be busy the entire time. Do you know what I mean? Like that's a crazy thing to me. Like this whole day, my entire shift, I will be working nonstop.
Yeah.
There will not be any slow periods because we've gone all hours of the day. We've gone, and maybe it drops off like in the non-summer months. That could be true.
Yeah,
I'll give it that. That might happen. But the whole summer, anytime you're there, it's like very long lines.
Do they have a fry shovel?
I'm sure they do. I think they have the fry basket, but then you also have to have the fry shovel.
You need the shovel and the basket, really.
I cannot confirm.
Yeah.
Same with the cat litter. You need the basket to sieve everything out.
Yeah.
Separate.
Yeah, you got that, haven't you?
I do feel like I could make that work without the basket, I think.
Yeah, actually, it depends. Yeah, it's just send me a funnel. We'll make it work.
So that's a very... I like that as well.
I'm imagining it now.
That film is so bad.
I've not seen it.
Orlando Bloom,
Kirsten Dunst.
Kiki Dunst. I think there's a Kiki Dunst.
Kiki Dunst, yeah, the parrot.
The parrot, Kiki.
It's pretty. It's one of those. It was around that era when people were making a lot of those kind of. It was all like, you know, guys writing female love interests.
It's like Manic Pixie Dream Girl.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the film it originated from, apparently.
That's right. Is it Nathan? There's a guy named the guy who originated that phrase.
Yeah.
Which I wish it could have been a woman. Would have been great. But that's okay. I think you're right. It did come from that movie, even though many examples before and after.
Many, many examples.
And during.
I was asking about Garden State today on the way here.
Yeah.
And the scene in that where she goes, "I'm going to do something no one's ever done before," and does a really weird noise in one spot and goes, "No one's ever done that in that." And he's looking at her like, "I'm so in love."
Just these magical women that don't have any inner life or thoughts. Yeah,
I'm just gonna take my shoes off and run in the rain.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, don't. It's actually annoying.
So in love with this woman I wrote.
And what's great is she doesn't ask me, she doesn't challenge me, except in that magical creative way. She doesn't challenge me about how I'm a fucking asshole. She doesn't challenge anything about my life. She doesn't really need any room or like have her own interest, which is really great. I can show her all my movies that I love. She's never seen them before.
She's like a culture sponge.
There's that famous that scene in Big Sick when he shows you the movie.
Yes.
You.
That is very much a...
Give him what for?
It is, I have, as a nerdy woman who's dated nerdy men my whole life, I am consistently having men try to get me to read The Watchmen. Do you know what I mean? Be like, oh my God, you'll love it. Be like, yeah, I have read this. I've read it. Oh, wow, you like horror movies too. It's amazing. Like, they don't seem to understand that, like, I also like the same things that they do, and they really, really want to be the ones to introduce me to it.
Yeah.
And I do get new stuff from every man I've been with.
Sure.
I do get new pop culture items every single time. But I really desperately wanted that scene in the movie, because not only did it happen in our actual relationship where Camille showed me the abominable Dr. Fibes on our first date, which I hadn't seen.
Okay.
So that's fair. But it is this thing of like, are you going to be cool enough to handle the stuff I like?
You're like? It's like a test.
Yeah, it literally is. Yeah, so it's I love it when men test me on my taste is the line that I wish I could have written, but Zoe Kazan actually improvised on the date.
Oh, really?
And it's maybe my favorite line in the movie.
But that's because she was channeling you.
Yeah.
She was so in the zone playing you.
Because she has experienced it too.
It's not just you.
Anytime I would read The Watchmen, I was reading The Watchmen on a train in Chicago when I lived in Chicago, and that's the most I've ever been hit on in public in my entire life.
Really?
Just men walking to be like, What are you reading? It's a really good. Do you know? And you're like, yeah, got it. Calm down.
And you're even reading it.
I'm literally reading it.
Have you read that?
Yeah. Yeah.
You should read The Watchmen.
You should read the next page of that.
The next page is the best page, actually.
Yeah. Oh man, I love you.
When I started doing stand up, right at the beginning. There was a comic in Northampton, the neighbouring town, called Jake Moore, and I'd gig with him a lot. And his uncle was Alan Moore. I would come to a lot of the gigs and draw the posters for the gigs. Yeah. And we were very excited about that, obviously, all of us were. And I got a friend called Jake, who's not a comedian, but is a good guy, loves Alan Moore. So I got Alan Moore to sign one of the posters, gave it to Jake, and within a week he lost it. Oh. Didn't know where it was.
What?
Absolutely. I'm still furious about it to this day. But I said to him, where's that poster? He went, I don't know. I was like, you could care a little bit about it.
Did he care when you gave it to him?
It's kind of like, oh, cheers, man. Cool.
It's like
I may as well giving him like a chocolate bar or something. I have to do that. Thanks, man.
I was a little hungry. Thank you.
Yeah.
That is bonkers.
Yeah, he's lost it now. So, like, I'll never get that poster again.
Or someone else has that poster.
Yeah.
And it has a wild yarn about how they got it.
It was a Christmas gig one, and he'd drawn the baby Jesus, I think, drinking in a crib.
That's so cool.
That is so cool.
Boozy did a crib, baby Jesus. Pretty cool.
And also like, ooh.
Yeah. That's what. There were always, there's an Easter bunny, did a really drunk Easter bunny, but I wasn't on that.
I like imagining every holiday mascot being on drugs.
Yeah.
That's great. It's a good time.
Also, love referring to Jesus as a holiday mascot.
Yeah, Jesus the holiday mascot.
Fair enough.
Yeah, he's the best one.
He's a real holiday mascot.
He's lasted the longest.
It's his birthday.
He's got the best brand.
He really does have. And was just a baby. I mean, he didn't even know.
The brand continued throughout his life.
And after death.
Yeah.
And after.
Yeah. So many holidays he became a mascot for, but just different phases of his life.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you.
That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Come to your side dish.
Oh, yes, yes. Do people ever do two?
Oh, well.
Pick one and then you can give an honourable mention to another one.
Do an honourable mention or we are open to being persuaded.
Oh, well, let me tell you why. Yeah. The reason I added this one because I wanted to have one London item on the list.
Okay.
But my original choice was there's a dish called at Major Domo, which is a restaurant in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. It's David Chang's restaurant. Oh. It's very, very good. And it's called chickpea hoisin. Mm-hmm. And it is a pasta dish that doesn't actually have pasta in it. It's like chickpeas and I don't even know, whatever hoisin is, which is, and it is, I cannot function when I'm eating. It's so, I start doing like a weird little happy dance. Like I can't, it's just a really amazing kind of, it tastes like an amazing pasta dish. And it's not important to me that it's not pasta. I don't care if I'm eating pasta or not. It just happens to taste like the best pasta dish I've ever had. And it's like kind of savory. There's like almost like a, miso-ish flavor, but it's not, I don't think that's involved in it. And it's just ridiculous. Mm. It's a ridiculous dish. It's so good.
I've never had any David Chang stuff, and I would like to.
Similar to what you were saying, I went to Major Domo a week or two ago, brought my friend Jonah Ray with me, and then I was like, can we invite a third just so we can order more food? Because we're going to feel like jerks if it's just the two of us.
Well, why don't you, from now on, you just order food for three people if it's two of you, and then just say Eddie Izzard's going to be here in a minute.
yeah.
That's for Eddie. And then when they turn their backs, you just eat the food and you go, Eddie's gone.
He'll pat you in the usual fashion,
just like he always does. He's like a ghost in the night. Yeah. That's what we love about him. Yeah, we actually were like concerned. We were like, we're going to eat everything.
Yeah.
If we're going to eat all the food. So we're like, let's get this third person, our friend Neil, who's great, so we can just have someone to eat the extra food. But I actually didn't even order it the last time I was there because I was like, I'll just house it so hard. Yeah. So I didn't even let myself have it. That's what I like to do that with like foods I really love, especially if they're not that good for me. I'll like deny myself.
Uh-huh.
It's like a...
So the next time is even better.
Yeah.
That's great.
Sure. Because you can overdo a favorite dish.
Yeah.
And that's a sad day.
That's a sad day when you realize you've done it.
You've made it not special anymore.
Yeah. It's like leaving your Christmas lights up.
Sure.
Yeah, but food.
I once went to Gelupo, the gelato place in London. I went there 5 days in a row once. And then I was like, I'm going to have to stop this now.
How have we never talked about this?
It was bad. It was bad. And they'd only opened recently.
I've got a reputation
for
the sweet tooth on this podcast.
They gave me a gold card.
They did?
Yeah. They were like, you can have this card. You're in here a lot. Do you want this gold card?
Oh, that's a sad day.
Right, and I was like, okay, cool. And then I went back the next week and they went, we don't do the gold cards anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, they gave it to you because they knew they were about to be done with it.
It was literally like they just gave me a little pat on
the
head.
They never did the gold cards. That had a tracking device in it, so they knew when you were coming. Uh-oh, here
Lock
we come.
Lock the gates.
Here we come. Put the clothes side up quickly. I love it.
It's such a good place, though.
At Christmas, I like to go there. And
Christmas pudding gelato.
There's the Christmas pudding one they do, and they also do an eggnog one. Oh. And I love both of them very much. Oh, also, I like Christmas pudding naked bars when they do them every Christmas, which they don't always. Actually, last Christmas, I don't know if they did them, and I got very sad.
What question do you have, Emily?
So actually, to be fair, Emily, you probably have a lot of questions about what I just said.
Why didn't they?
I don't know what I didn't do with last year.
The next question going to be, what's a naked bar?
Yes.
Okay.
But I assume that's like a health food bar.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those.
It's like compacted dates, and then they put other like
cashews and stuff. Yeah, it's not really.
You really make it sound very appetizing.
It's compacted dates.
But then I would imagine that a very delicious dessert flavor of something that is traditionally healthy and not delicious is kind of annoying and awful. So it's, but it's not.
Sure, but I don't think I've. I mean, I love naked bars, so therefore I have a suspicion that they're not good for me. Everything right. I love makes me sad. So like I don't think that they can be. I'm like, surely this isn't good.
They're
for
very
me,
sweet. I think they're very sweet.
I'm really like, loving yeah. it, so it can't be actually good for me. The Christmas pudding one genuinely just tastes like a Christmas pudding. That someone's just giving you a stick of Christmas pudding.
It's kind of amazing.
So I don't believe it's good for me. Also, very happy, I'm just going back quite away in the conversation, but that Jonah Ray got a shout out there. Met Jonah once, one of my favourite dining experiences with him. And Jonah, if you're listening, I'd like you to, if you can record yourself doing what we come to know as the menu bit. It was one of my favourite little bits of waiter banter I've ever seen anyone do. Oof. Jonah thought, I was having a bit of fun with the waiter.
Where was this at the scene?
It was at Duck and Waffle.
Duck and Waffle,
Duck and Waffle. Yeah. Yeah.
In London.
The one in the high rise for
yeah.
no reason.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
We 24 were, hours.
It was a very poor. Myself and Nish.
You guys did terribly.
Nish Krumar, if I did the podcast, our responsibility was to take our American friends to somewhere hip. That was the only criteria we were given.
You went to Duck and Waffle?
Well,
oh, no, not at first.
We went to about 20 other places that were all shut.
Oh,
and then eventually had to go to a place we'd never been to before.
You guys can't be trusted to organise anything.
Yeah, you would have done it first time, and I'm aware of that.
Just,
I'm aware
call, just the, call ahead, I'll organise it, and then you guys can go,
listen,
right?
We'll just take you instead.
That's fine. You can sort this out.
You're the worst person I could be telling this to, actually, because like you would have nailed it first time. Yeah, yeah, absolutely infuriating.
Lack of organisation and pre-planning.
It was cold, and we were just walking around. I mean, and you know when you're in a new city, and you're just like, I'll just go where you guys are going, and then you're like, where?
They don't know where they're going.
Where are we going?
We did not know. It was really stressful. And me and Nish kept, because we didn't really know Emily and everyone very well at the time, so we were doing a lot of like just to ourselves, just to one side so they couldn't hear us going, we're really screwing this up. This is going so bad. They said they wanted somewhere hip.
They're going to find out we don't actually live here.
We just...
P.S. I don't think we ever said we wanted somewhere hip. We just wanted to eat.
Kamau.
That will,
he uses that kind of language.
He does. That is absolutely correct.
Said somewhere hip, and we misunderstood what hip meant.
Captain Party.
My husband could be
Captain Parties. And which lived up to every bit of...
Absolutely had that food there on the menu.
Yeah.
I loved it. The food was amazing.
It was very nice.
Yeah.
But at one point, the waiter came over. I was like, are you ready to order? And Jonah was holding the menu. He said, yeah, I have a question. No, the waiter said, any questions? And Jenny went, yeah, I have a question. What is this? What is this thing?
Oh, did he say any questions about the menu? Or
just any questions? He probably said any questions about the menu. And Jenny was like, yeah, what is a menu? what is this? And the guy just looked at him and went, it's just got the food on it there. You can order the food. And it went so bad.
Of course it did.
And after he left, Jenny was just, we were all like, oh, so that menu bit went really badly just then. And... forever refer to it as the menu bit. So if Jonah is listening, can you please record yourself doing the menu
bit? It's really, you need his voice to do it, for sure.
On a future episode of Off
Menu,
please.
But also, I'd like to say to our listeners, next time you're in a restaurant, maybe try the menu bit and let us know how it goes.
Film yourself sneakily doing the menu bit to someone. So what happens is, and it's very clear, if they come along, if the waiter says, do you have any questions about the menu, you have to ask what a menu is. And first person who gets a laugh becomes a guest on the podcast. Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, Benito agrees.
Benito, very enthusiastic agreement.
So that's one of your sides.
If you'll allow me, and I need to, the Nasu Miso at Dinings SW3.
Oh.
Which is a terribly named restaurant here in London. It's a restaurant I went to a couple days ago, and they have this aubergine eggplant dish that is like a caramelized situation that looks like a sneeze. To be honest, and transported me to another world.
Wow.
I've had that in different places. Like, is it the half?
It's a half,
They grill it with miso on top, and then it goes all soft and like snot in the middle. Really.
Very snotty, very snotty.
But it is phenomenal.
It is the tastiest thing I've eaten in quite some time.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've never heard of this place.
Dinings SW3.
I mean, of course I've not heard of this place. When you asked me to take you somewhere to eat in London, I didn't know. I got this lost and went to Duck and Waffle.
Get in the lift.
Of course,
in the lift. We'll go up as far as possible.
Yeah.
You have great taste in restaurants. You've introduced me to a lot of really good restaurants here.
Thank you very
much. So you've done a great job. I think it's definitely improved since this podcast, maybe, because maybe, were you doing the podcast?
I was, but like, you know, I think that made me cocky that night. So you got those two to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're going to do, I want to kind of put it in a thing where we can visualise this. Waterworld.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And you're on like in a crow's nest situation, and there's two planks either side of it, and one at the end of one of them is the aubergine dish, and the end of the other one is the
chickpea hoisin.
David Chang. And you could, if you run to
one dish, the other one will fall and you will never get it again. I don't know why I...
So there's either that, there's either that or
Emily, that. I'd suggest, imagine you're in a dream restaurant and you only get to pick one side.
It's Waterworld.
Wait, hold on, wait. I'm in a crow's nest.
It's Waterworld. You got to walk the plank.
I have to walk the plank. Wait, first off, you don't walk the plank from the crow's nest.
No. And you don't walk the plank to get a bowl of food.
I'm misremembering Waterworld.
Or just pirate lore in general.
Yes, misremembered Waterworld and maybe pirate lore.
So, you're on the crow's nest.
Yeah.
And there's a bowl planks. There's a bowl of the chickpea pasta on one plank.
Yeah.
And there's a bowl of the Nasu aubergine.
I'm gonna go with the chickpea hoson if I have to.
Chickpea hoson.
Yeah.
So the aubergine is dropped into the sea and the sharks are all eating it.
There's the sharks eating it.
Yeah.
And they loved it.
Yeah.
They want more.
Shark, you want an aubergine? That's what it'd say.
Sharky, you want
are
an
aubergine? Are there any sharks? Oh, Bruce was the name of the shark in Jaws, right?
Yeah. Or Sharky was the name of the Shark and Sharky and George. If you did, you have Sharky and George in the States?
No, I don't think so.
It's kind of like
I think
Captain
it was an American show, wasn't it? Sharky and George.
I thought it was the Crime Busters of the Sea.
Yeah.
What in the hell are you referring
it was
to?
A cartoon, and they solved crimes underwater. Sharky and George, Crime Busters of the Sea. I'm aware
George.
Now. It seems like so we're just making up a show to try and fool you.
Yeah, that's right. It does seem that way. There's a lot of I have some cartoon holes in my repertoire. Yeah, childhood cartoons. There's a lot of stuff that Kumail will mention to me that I'm like. He's like, it was an American cartoon. He was in Pakistan. He saw it. I did not see it in America.
Right.
I was watching a lot of like Today's Special, 3-2-1 Contact, like live action shows where mannequins become real and teach you math.
Mm. Yes.
Those were my jams.
Of course you were.
Yeah.
So really, so that'd be good if like a guy took you out on a date and wanted to impress you, show you Sharky and George.
I'd be like, oh my God, you seem so cool and connected to your childhood.
Yeah. They bust crime underwater. Yeah, it's no big deal.
They can
deal.
Solve any mystery.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I've got this tattoo. You definitely need to have a tattoo of Sharky and George if you're going to be showing me Sharky and George on
it. You would. Where would be the best place on your body to have a Sharky and George tattoo? Because I don't think on my arm would really work.
Out of context, that is the stupidest sentence ever. And in context, it doesn't make that much sense.
That's right.
On my wrist.
Oh, like an inner wrist.
An inner wrist. I'd turn around and there'd be the...
You know, most people have Breathe
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You have
Sharky and George. What was George? Sharky was a shark.
Hey,
George just a small fish.
If he's just a big fish, but he named himself Sharky, that's pretty badass.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that's quite cool.
Yeah, that's quite cool. But yeah,
like Captain Buzzo.
Yeah.
Let's give yourself a cool name. The drink now. We come to the drink.
Oh, I had a hard time with this one.
Mm.
Here's what I'm going to choose. So when I was in college, I did not realize that drinks had calories in them.
Yes.
I didn't learn that until
yes.
a little later.
This is a big thing. I think everyone goes through
is
this.
Is that right?
Yes.
So I would get every single day a 44-ounce cherry limeade from a restaurant called Sonic. It's a chain restaurant. It's like a fast food place. I don't think you have them here.
No.
But their whole thing is like, it's like an old-timey like drive-up. It's like a woman comes, you drive up, you put the thing, it's like a drive-in theater. You order from your car, but you're like parked and like a waitress and like with cute like short shorts and roller skates comes out.
I can imagine when people talk about that is the big ribs being put on the side in the Flintstones
exactly.
and then toppling the thing
exactly.
over.
That's why ribs aren't
food.
On the menu at Sonic.
Yeah.
They don't want problems.
They don't want people to tip their cars over.
It also had a drive-in, like a drive-through, which is what I would get. And I would drink a 44-ounce cherry limeade.
Every day.
Every single day. Like it was nothing. Like it didn't occur to me. It didn't occur to me that was not a good idea.
So it's just like a syrup.
A cup of syrup with barrel ice, which barrel ice is a... Think of your favorite ice. Do you have favorite ice?
Favorite ice.
Have you guys discussed
interesting.
Favorite
I
ice?
Like a huge. You know when you go to like a fancy cocktail bar and they put in a huge
one big
cube of ice. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, I like the huge cube of ice. But I also like just the crushed ice.
Yes, this is more akin to that.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You can kind of crunch it. Yeah, just a huge thing of syrup and ice. It would slowly melt.
Nice.
I would drink 44 ounces.
You must have been buzzing all day. And sorry to say buzz again in this podcast, but you must have been the sugar at high of that.
Yeah, it's not good. But it tasted amazing. Yeah. I absolutely loved it. And I kind of realized at some point, like, oh, this is not good. I also was a bit of a thicker milkshake back then. So I kind of was like, oh, this is probably not a good idea for me overall. Yeah. So at some point I was like, I can't ever drink that again. And I just cut it out of my life completely. I still miss it.
I never had a cherry lime before. I've made, like, we have a, do you have ice blasts?
No.
They're like a slushy.
Oh, okay.
But
gotcha.
Fizzy.
Yeah.
Like a fizzy slushy.
Yes, we have a version of that. I can't think of the name of it right now, but we have a version of that. Yeah. Yes.
Are they the Tango one? Are they Tango ice blast?
I used to work in the Oak Tree in Wixie Park, which we've discussed.
Yeah.
And they were just called ice blasts back then. And I would mix the cherry and the lime one and then add some Pepsi as well.
Oof. Wow.
And I would just drink that all the time, again, thinking that
everything's fine.
No calories, I'm absolutely fine. And then I'd go around and help myself to the ice creams. I've spoken about this before on the podcast, but it is one of the happiest days of my life.
I will say, when I was a barista when I was 16, which is quite some time ago, and I was a barista in a hospital. I worked at like a coffee stand, and it would just be like bereaved old men who were like, just give me coffee. I don't want anything fancy. Like, they were like, because there would be like latte and all this shit on the menu, and they would be like, why are you doing this to me? So I just mostly made like regular ass coffee. But I would make a thing for myself that was like a combination of every flavored syrup that was available to me. Yeah. And I called it the Milky Way. Just a 16-year-old just drinking every flavored syrup.
The milk. All the syrups. And you'll just drink all the syrups with the coffee.
A little tiny bit of coffee. Yeah.
Yeah.
What the hell was the Milky wrong with
Way.
Me? Yeah.
Also, I think the character of the bereaved man who has to order a complicated coffee is one of my favourite characters that we've had on the podcast ever.
Oh, that's
ever.
Great.
It's a real, that's a sketch that really needs to see the light of day properly.
So sad. And I was supposed to push the fancy drinks on them, and I would just be like, no. I'm so sorry. I'm so
you
sorry
about
your
You can't try and upsell a bereaved
man. No! No, you really can't.
I don't
can.
Want any choice anymore, please.
A lot of men whose, like, also masculinity were threatened by...
Of course. Yeah.
Options. And this was when I was 16, so it literally was like, this is like 1995, 96. This is a long
This
time
is at
ago.
The initial sort of coffee, the
yes,
coffee craze.
Before Starbucks really took over as like a thing. Yeah.
So people were just getting used to all those options.
Or not even slightly getting used to it.
Yeah. Oh, what a character. Can't get it out of my head.
Oh, bereaved barista? I didn't know.
Oh, barista.
The barista.
The barista. You were a barista.
You were a barista.
You won. You won.
A barista.
Oh, that's genius.
So your drink is the cherry limeade.
44 ounce.
44 ounce. It's got to be 44 ounce from Sonic.
Sonic.
Amazing.
Great drink. Want to try it? Your dessert. We're going sweet into sweet. It's an Acaster dream.
Yeah, how are you going to up the sweet from the drink?
Oh, I gotcha. I've chosen, which is technically a breakfast item, but as I've had with you, breakfast items for dessert are quite good.
Yes.
I'm choosing the Barry Bostock, which I will explain what that is, from a place that no longer exists in Los Angeles.
That's great, but that's the function of the Dream Restaurant, is we can bring those things back.
And I worked really hard to keep this in my life. So there was a restaurant called 2040 in Los Angeles that was like a breakfast lunch place, but it had like pastries, and the Barry Bostock was amazing. And it's basically like a slice of like brioche bread that has like orange syrup, like a berry jam. There's almonds, maybe an almond syrup on it as well. And I think it's somehow baked and then a little fried. It's just like a ridiculous, it's just one of the most amazing things I've ever had. So it was at 2040. It was amazing. 2040 closed. And as it was closing, we knew it was going to close in like a week or so. I was like, who is your pastry chef? And does she like he or she work anywhere else? And they said, oh yeah, she just is right across the street at McCall's, which is like it's like a butcher shop that's across the street. I went to the butcher shop and was like, can I speak to the pastry person? And I kind of just flattered the hell out of her and told her I loved it so much. And she was like, well, I make stuff here, but she was like, it's not a very popular item, but if you email me, I'll just make a bunch of them for you. And I mean, for me to pay for, like a couple days in advance. So for like a year and a half, I've been able to email this woman directly and be like, can I get a few? And at first I was like, I don't mean to drop this in, but it's relevant to the story. The first one was like, it's got to be for a big reason, like a celebratory. Yeah, yeah. So when Camille and I were nominated for an Oscar, the first thing I did, second thing I did, was email this pastry chef and go, yeah. Hey, I got nominated for an Oscar. Can you please? Because I was like, I got to break the seal somehow. I want it to be, I was like, I just want a bunch, as many as you're willing to make.
And then you called Camille and told him.
Right? Yeah. By the way, I've been nominated. Yeah. I got Barry Bostock.
So that I got to have them that day. And then like, then it kind of became a little looser. She was like, literally anytime, it's not a problem to make them. So like every few weeks,
yes,
we would put them, we would freeze some of them to keep them. And then 2 weeks ago, she put a sign up in the window of the butcher shop and she is no longer working there.
Oh, no.
So, and the email address I had was the email address that she had at the butcher shop.
Have you asked the butcher?
I got so upset.
But will it freak her out if you go, you ask a bunch of where is she now? And he's like, oh, she now works at the fishmongers or whatever. And then you've got to go there and go, can I speak to her? She comes down and she sees you and goes, oh my God.
No. Again? No, oh, again?
Oh, Jesus.
I've changed my name.
How has this happened?
I will track you down.
It's not a bad idea for a film.
Yes. Which,
when you write it and it gets nominated for an Oscar, what are you going to eat to celebrate?
Yeah.
Gone.
I'll do the cherry limeade at that point.
Here's a question I want to ask. Mm. What is the food like at the Oscars?
Okay, so when you're there, the new thing that they do is under everyone's seat is a snack box. Because you have to get there at noon. I had to get there at noon, which means you're getting ready before noon. The show isn't until 4 or 5 p.m. And then you're literally, you don't have a chance to eat for like, I'd say 12 hours.
Right.
Like, you're just kind of sitting around. So they very intelligently, and I forgot who sponsored it this year, the year we went, which was 2017. And so there's a snack box, you open it, it's just got literal like potato chips and like snacks. Yeah. And so you're kind of like, this is so stupid. And then like within a half an hour, you're just like shoving it into your face. And then there's the Governor's Ball afterwards, which is like the event that's attached to the Oscars. Uh-huh. And the food is fine. It's like fancy right. people's food that's meant to appeal to everyone.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's kind of okay. nothing.
Okay. Yeah.
I know exactly the sort
just
of thing.
Just like
I mean. Yeah.
The winners, am I right?
That's right, because I didn't win.
Meant to appeal to everyone is just fine.
Not,
no risks.
No risk at all. Yeah.
Nothing
asparagus.
Interested.
Got it. Anyway, so the Barry Bostock. It's like a delicious.
How many would you like for dessert?
Can I have two?
Yeah, you can have two.
Okay.
And you can have a bag of them to freeze.
Yes, that's what I really wanted.
And the lady's address piped onto the top of it.
I would cross oceans of time to find her. And she's always been very flattered by it. Like, she's like, no, it's so great to have someone love something you make that much.
Yeah.
But she wasn't so flattered that she emailed you to say, I'm moving and here's where
that
I'm going.
That is correct.
Because I'm starting to think she's flattered by the chase.
So yeah,
she's probably left you some clues.
Yeah. I should go read that. I actually took a photo of the sign that she left in the like window of the store. Yeah. I should reread the sign and see if there's any like if I add up the first letter of every word.
Yeah,
maybe
it'd be like an escape room. She's left you some little clues.
What if she's left some little brioche breadcrumbs? you follow the little trail and you find it.
Shout out to the fact that you were going to pick gluten-free bread because you wanted to avoid gluten, and then you've had a
look
burger
how far.
and a brioche pudding.
How far them? I think that's why I wanted the gluten-free bread. Yeah. It's like, I'm going to make some mistakes tonight, baby.
Yeah, ramp up to it. Let's read back your order, see how you feel about it. Your water, you would like some sparkling water. Maybe even... Do Fiji do sparkling water? They don't, do they? Anyway. Problems of bread, you chose gluten-free bread.
Canyon Bakehouse.
Starter, you'd like some vegan crispy rice salad from the Night Market song. Mm-hmm. Main, you would like Melvin's Burger.
Yes.
Side dish, chickpea hoisin from Majordomo.
Mm-hmm.
Your drink, you would like a 44-ounce cherry limeade from Sonic. And your dessert, you would like the Barry Bostock from...
Nowhere.
A lady who is on the run. Feel happy about that order?
I feel amazing about that order. I feel very good about that order.
It does feel pretty good, actually. And I think we've had quite the ride. There's been many characters along the way we've got to know.
I really feel sorry for that guy still.
The guy who's talking to the barista.
The barista is a great television show.
Yeah.
That should happen.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, definitely have the barista.
Camille and I had a podcast about video games for many years, and it would be a thing where Camille would, at the end of the podcast, would be promoting, oh, I'm on this TV show, I'm doing this, and I had no credits. So I just started making up a television show that I was on called called the flower deranger. But I'm a florist who is also a serial killer.
Great.
And I got people started making like art for it and stuff. And so, yeah, flower deranger and the briefster are the two. Everybody who's grieving.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the, what's the step before you go to hell?
Purgatory.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's what every program is.
Perfect.
That's what I think.
Name two.
The Secret to Sharky and George.
Okay.
For one. And Home Alone, the film.
Thanks very much for coming into the restaurant, Emily. You can see Emily Tuesday nights on Fox in The Barista.
And The Flower Deranger is coming to Netflix soon. Yeah, they keep telling me.
Yeah, yeah. Can't wait.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was the off-menu menu of Emily Gordon.
Great stuff. Delicious stuff.
Cracking menu. Really
good.
Very
good menu.
I've never really been into sugary drinks, but I'd really like to try a cherry limeade from Sonic, James.
Yeah, it sounded really nice, especially like stuff that's from people's past.
Yeah.
And I don't have it anymore. I want to try that burger.
Oh, the burger.
I want to queue up for that burger.
I love a messy burger, but I would have to eat that in the shower.
Yeah.
I need to wash off straight away with things like that.
Ooh, make room for two in that shower, Ed. I'm coming in. We'll eat them back to back.
We'll eat back to back so we don't see any business.
Well, just as messy-wise, we won't get any of the burger on each other.
So we're standing back to back, naked in the shower, eating the burgers.
Yeah, because otherwise, if we stand facing each other, we'll get each other's burger mess on each other.
Yeah.
If we stand so that, you know, you've got your back to me, but I'm facing you, I'm going to get my burger on your back. So we need to both be back to back so that we get our own burgers on our fronts and nothing more.
Yeah, that sounds good, actually.
Yeah.
We'd need quite a wide shower head to truly cover it. Otherwise, we'd need to back to back and then just shuffling from side to side to make sure we get in the water.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, to alternate bites.
Yeah. So thanks very much for listening. Emily did not say the secret ingredient.
Charcoal.
Thank God for that, because it was a very entertaining episode. I would have hated to have to kick her out.
That would have felt bad.
James, us here at Off Menu, we have our own social accounts, don't we?
At Diabetes.
And also, the Off Menu podcast has its own, at Off Menu Official on Instagram and on Twitter. Also, thank you very much. We've been sent some wines from Most Wanted Wines and some crisps and dips from Hip Chips.
Whoa!
Fun to say. I noticed you tucking into the sweet Hip Chips.
Yeah, I love crisps dipped in chocolate. When Benito went to Philadelphia, he brought back some crisps dipped in chocolate for you, and I ate them all.
Yes, and he also brought you a cap.
And I wore it.
Yes.
So I got two presents and you got none.
Very, very nice speaking to you all. Come back again soon. Well, we will be welcoming another fantastic guest to the Off Menu Restaurant.
Don't be a stranger.
Bye-bye.
Farewell.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah, if people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But this one is coming. This one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.